Our text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. We want to read verses 15 through 18, and then just a little bit later, we want to read verses 19 through 22. So let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Paul said, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Preaching is work, and it is right to pay preachers. Preachers have the right to be paid for the work that they do. Jesus taught this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said that the laborer is worthy of his hire. And here in this chapter, Paul used five illustrations to make that point. But even though Paul says it's right to pay a preacher and preachers have the right to be paid, he chose not to be paid by the church at Corinth while he was working with that congregation. Now, he also did that in Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul explained the reason why that he chose not to be paid by those brethren. And it was a different reason from the reason that he gives here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The reason why Paul did not receive pay from the brethren in Thessalonica is because he wanted to set before them a good example of working for a living. Because the problem in Thessalonica is that some of those people were not working. And Paul warned them that if a man is not going to work, he shouldn't eat. And in that same context, Paul said, that's the reason why that he and others worked with their own hands while they were there in Thessalonica, to show those people an example of working for a living. And Paul cautioned them by saying, it's not because we didn't have the right to be paid, it's because we wanted to make ourselves an example to you. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now, Paul in Corinth did not receive pay from the church at Corinth for a different reason. And he tells us that reason in verse 12. He says in verse 12, "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather?" In other words, if you pay other preachers, then you shouldn't have a problem paying us. But at the same time, Paul goes on to say, "Nevertheless, we have not used this power or this right to be paid to preach. But we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." So Paul said the reason that I did not accept pay from the church at Corinth, from you brethren, is because I did not want to hinder the gospel of Christ. So there was something about being paid that would perhaps hinder the spread of the gospel. And what happened evidently was that there were other preachers who came into Corinth and they abused this right. Some of the people who eventually came to Corinth were false teachers who took advantage of these Christians. We read about that later in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So Paul didn't want the brethren to think that he was in any way abusing that right. He didn't want to in any way hinder the gospel by causing people or by giving people the opportunity to think that he was in any way being greedy. So people then are like people today. There were some preachers then who took advantage of this right, and there were people who began to be suspicious of just about any preacher. Paul didn't want that kind of suspicion, and so as a result, the Bible says that he was supported in two different ways. While he worked for a year and a half with those Corinthian brethren, The Bible says, first of all, that he made tents. In other words, he supported himself by working. We read about that in Acts 18. The second way that Paul received support in working at the church at Corinth was that he was supported by outside congregations, by other congregations outside of that area. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, let's look at the passage that we just read, and I want to make a few comments about verses 15 through 18. Paul said in verse 15, "But I have used none of these things." In other words, the right to be paid. And he says, "I've not written this to you so that it should be so done unto me." What he's saying is that he's not writing this to make them feel guilty and to motivate them to pay him. Paul said, "I'm not trying to get money out of you. I'm not trying to get that pay." He says, "For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." Now, this glorying here is not glorying in a bad or an arrogant way. Paul is saying that he's glad that he made this decision. He's glad that he was in that kind of circumstance. So if it sounds like that Paul is being bold and defensive, remember that these people have criticized Paul, and that's why we find this tone that he uses. In verse 16, Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me." What does Paul mean when he says that necessity was laid upon him? Well, the necessity that he's talking about is an inward necessity. In other words, his heart would not rest unless he preached the gospel. His faith was so strong that it drove him, that it motivated him to preach the gospel. And so this is not a necessity that's being placed upon him from the outside. This is his inward feeling. This is his inward motivation or necessity that is driving him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, that he had a burning fire shut up in his bones, and he could not help but preach the word of God. He was like the other apostles that we read about in Acts 4, verse 20, who said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." There's an old adage, and as a matter of fact, it was some information that was given by older preachers to younger preachers. This is how they advised younger men who were wanting to preach years ago. Those older preachers oftentimes would say this, "If you can do anything else, don't preach." Now, it's easy to misunderstand what those old-time preachers meant by that. What they were saying was, if you can do anything else as far as an occupation is concerned and be satisfied without preaching, then by all means, don't preach. But if you must preach, they went on to say. In other words, if you are driven, if you will never be satisfied unless you are preaching, then you preach to the best of your ability and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul means when he says, "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." That's not a warning. That's not a caution about preaching some other message. What Paul is saying here is, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, because I will be miserable. I will be so empty. I will be so dissatisfied if I don't preach the gospel, because I have this inward motivation that will not let me rest until and unless I preach the gospel." He goes on to explain in verse 17 and 18, "For if I do this thing, that is preach the gospel without pay, willingly, I have a reward." He's saying, I need to do this gladly, and I do this gladly. I do it without begrudging it. And as a result, he said, I have a reward. And he'll tell us what that reward is in verse 18. But he said, if I preach the gospel without being paid against my will, if I do that out of necessity laid on me from outside, then he says, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. By the word dispensation, he's talking about a matter of sheer responsibility because he had to. Paul is saying, if I have to do this out of pure duty, out of sheer obligation, if I have to do this only because I feel like that I have to, then I don't have the happiness and the joy and the reward that I have otherwise. So doing this thing willingly is the opposite of a dispensation being committed unto him. Paul is saying, I do this thing because I want to, not just because I have to. So he asked the question in verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. And that, Paul says, is my reward. Now let's read verses 19 through 22 and connect this to what he's been saying and also make a few observations about this passage. In verses 19 through 22, Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Now remember the larger context here. Paul is talking about matters of indifference. He's talking about matters where God has not said one way or the other what we should do in those circumstances. It depends on the situation. And so Paul, when he says that to the Jew he became like the Jews, he's talking about Jewish customs. He's not talking about compromising the gospel to go along with these false Jewish teachers who rejected Christ. He's talking about things such as eating unclean meats. There were certain foods that the law of Moses said not to eat. And so Paul said, if this is something that is not going to involve a compromising of the gospel of Christ, then I can be a servant to people and I can go along with that custom. You see, he's talking about matters of custom again and not matters of doctrine. When he talks about those being under the law, he's talking about the Jews. And when he talks about those that are without law, he's talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles were under this moral law that Romans 1 talks about and Romans 2 defines for us. Now, when he was around those Gentiles, there were certain things and certain questions that the Gentiles, as Christians, had about matters of right and wrong. One of them was the question, is it right to eat meats that have been offered to idols? And Paul has already talked about that in chapter 8. So what we need to understand is that this does not mean that Christians should go along with anything and everything in a different culture. Paul would not compromise Bible teaching, and he's not talking about that. He's talking about matters of custom, matters of conscience, matters that are indifferent. And so Paul is not saying that if you are in a different culture or in a given culture where people drink, that it's all right to drink. He's not saying that if people in a given culture dress indecently, then it's all right for you to do that. When Paul says, I'm made all things to all men, he doesn't mean that if you're in a culture where many men have more than one wife, that it's fine and acceptable for you to do that. Just because the culture you're in does these things does not make it right. So Paul shows in this section that culture is one thing, but doctrine is another.